Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin, daf Chaf Aleph. We left off daf Chaf Amud Beis towards the bottom of the Amud, three lines up from the bottom. Today is another very technical daf. It's all about Malika. We are going to continue a discussion that we left off really in the middle of yesterday. We were talking about the concept of Havdalah, the concept of when you have to be Mavdil, the head of the bird, from the rest of the body. And what's ma'akev in that concept of Havdalah? What's not ma'akev in that concept of Havdalah? So we've already seen yesterday that cutting all the way through the skin is not ma'akev in the concept of Havdalah. And you are said to have separated the head from the rest of the body so long as you sever both pipes, even if there's a little bit of skin left connecting the head of the bird to the body of the bird. That's not ma'akev, the concept of Havdalah. We saw why that is the case yesterday. The reason is because the skin is not ma'akev by shechita. For example, if you were to totally skin an animal before you shechted it, then you shechted the animal in the proper place, that would be a valid shechita. So obviously we see skin is not ma'akev by shechita. And the halacha that the Gemara introduced us to yesterday that we saw at the end of the shir was that anything that is not ma'akev by shechita is also not ma'akev legabe the inyan of Havdalah. So today we're going to continue with that discussion, and we're going to ask about shechitas rov simanim, severing most of the simanim instead of all of the simanim. That might not be ma'akev by shechita, yet that might be ma'akev by Havdalah, so we'll see why that's the case. The Gemara is then going to launch into a discussion of the distinction between the chatas ha'of and the olas ha'of. So we know that ordinarily speaking, for example, if somebody is required to bring a carbon chatas, they ideally should bring a chatas behema. However, there's a concept of a carbon ola v'yore, that depending on how much money a person has, a person can either bring a more expensive carbon or a less expensive carbon. So if a person doesn't have the financial means to bring a chatas behema, what he has to do is he has to bring a pair of birds. One of them is a chatas, one of them is an ola. The halacha by the chatas and the ola is very different, as we'll see in the Gemara. By the chatas, a person dafka has to separate only one pipe, but not two pipes, because the Torah says velo yavdil, that you're not supposed to separate. That's by the chatas ha'of. By the ola ha'of, however, the halacha is the opposite, that you have to separate both pipes. We're going to see, does that mean rove of both pipes, all of both pipes? How does that fit with the concept of Havdalah that we've been mentioning, in the Gemara that we started the discussion yesterday? So we're going to talk about the Chatas Ha'of and the Olas Ha'of. The Gemara is going to walk through in a very specific way the halachas that apply to each and the drushos that we are darshaning in the Pasuk to teach us that the halacha by Chatas Ha'of and Olas Ha'of may be different. So again, it's all about Malika. No better topic to learn about on a fast day. So let us get right into it. So says the Gemara again, we're on Chaf Amud Beis. We are three lines up from the bottom. First word on the line is Behavdalah, and we are at the second to last word on the line, which is Vaha. So says the Gemara, Va'miyit Simanim L'Rabbanan. However, Miyit Simanim L'Rabbanan, Delo Ma'akvi B'Shchita, which are not Ma'akev by Shchita. However, Uma'akve be'avdala, yet they are ma'akev by Havdalah. In other words, that miyot simanim by shechita, they're not ma'akev, meaning that as long as you shecht rov simanim, that is considered as if you have done a kasher shechita. However, in order to satisfy the halacha of Havdalah by a bird, you actually do have to separate all of the simanim. You have to cut through all of the simanim. So says the Gemara, Ele'ema, Kol sheyeshna b'shchita, yeshna b'avdala. No, whatever halacha applies by shchita, that halacha applies by avdala. That if it's halacha that applies by shchita, you have to do it in order to qualify as having done the havdala by the bird. The kol sheyna b'shchita, eina b'avdala. However, any halacha that is not present by shechita is not ma'akev by Havdalah. And therefore it would turn out that skin, which is not shayich by shechita at all, is not ma'akev by Havdalah. But the chaticha simonim, however, the cutting of the pipes, which is shayich legabe shechita, is ma'akev legabe Havdalah. So in other words, what we've done in the Gemara is we've made a very little tweak. So previously what we had been saying, what we ended off this year yesterday, was we tried the rule of anything that's ma'akev by shechita is ma'akev by Avdallah. Anything that's not ma'akev by Shechita is not ma'akev by Avdallah. We asked, how about the shechting of the miyat simanim, cutting all the way through the simanim? It's not ma'akev by Shechita, but it is ma'akev by Avdallah. So the Gemara changed the paradigm. The paradigm is not that which is ma'akev by Shechita is ma'akev by Avdallah. It's that which is shayich by Shechita is ma'akev by Avdallah. But that which is not shayich by Shechita at all is not ma'akev by Avdallah. Therefore, cutting of the simanim, which is shayich by Shechita, because obviously by Shechita, even though you don't have to cut all the way through, you have to cut most of the way through. So cutting of the simanim is shayich by Shechita, therefore it's going to be ma'akev by Avdallah of the bird. However, anything that's not shayich to Shechita at all, such as skin, because skin is not necessary for Shechita at all, you don't have to shecht skin at all, is not going to be ma'akev by Avdallah. Okay, so says the Gemara, but mikol makom kasha. Nevertheless, we have a kasha. What's the kasha? So we have to remember back to what we learned yesterday. What we learned yesterday was that malika is very different from shechita. Again, shechita, you approach the animal from the front and you shecht the animal on its neck. Malika is the exact opposite. You're going from the back. And what we said was you're breaking the bird's neck bone, and then you continue on with the incision until you reach the pipes. And then you have to sever the pipes, one pipe or two pipes, depending on whether it's a chatos or whether it's an ola. And the Gemara asked yesterday, how could it be that you're cutting the back of the neck, that you're going to break the neck bone, and then you're going to sever the pipes? Once you break the neck bone, the bird is dead. So once the bird is dead, what good is it that you're going to go shech the pipes? The whole point is that you're supposed to avoid making the animal an avela. And now when you're coming through the back and breaking the neck bone initially, you make the animal an avela. And what we had asked was, says Rashi, v'chimesa omid emolek, is it possible that the bird is dead and you're continuing to do the malika? How exactly is this done? So says the Gemara, Amarava, Ema v'chenu ose, and this is what he does, Chotech Shedra umefarekes, that you sever the spinal cord and the neck bone below Rov Basar, without most of the meat. And Rashi points out that if you're shechting it below Rov Basar, that if you're breaking the neck bone and the spinal cord, but you're not severing most of the flesh around the neck bone and the spinal cord, then you're not going to make the animal into an avela. The only time you make the animal into an avela, the only time that you're going to kill the bird, is if you're breaking the spinal cord, you're breaking the neck bone, and you're also tearing all of the meat. But if you're tearing only Rov Basar, you're not going to turn it into an avela. Kisalik Rabbi Zera, when Rabbi Zera went there, it's Yisrael Ashkechele Ravami, he found Ravami, the Yosef Akamri Lalashmaitza, who was learning this sugya. Amarle v'chimesa omen emolek, how could it be that you're doing a malika by approaching the bird from the back and breaking the collarbone, but breaking the neck bone and then shechting the simonim? Isn't that an avela already? And Ishtomim Keshachada, he was a little bit confounded for a minute. He didn't know what to answer. And Amarle, and then he suggested, Ema Kachalosa, maybe what we need to explain is as follows. Chotech Shedra Mefarekes, that you shecht the Shedra, the spinal cord and the neck bone below Rov Basar, and you do it in a way without cutting the majority of the meat of the flesh around the neck. And if you can sever the spinal cord and the neck bone without cutting through the majority of the flesh, then there's a way to do it without causing the bird to become a nevela. Tanya Namiachi, and we have another brisa that supports this. Ketzad molken chata sa'of, how are you molek a chata sa'of? And again, now we're talking about where you have to bring the chata sa'of and the ola sa'of, where you bring a korban ola v'yored, your chayav a korban chatas. Ideally, you would bring an animal carbon, but you don't have enough money to bring an animal carbon. So what you do then is you bring a chatas off and an olas off, and then we should just mention, for the sake of completion, that if you're a dalei dalim, if you're very, very poor, if you have no financial means, then instead of even bringing the chatas off and the olas off, you're allowed to bring effectively a minchas chatas. So you're allowed to bring a carbon mincha flower offering as a chatas. But we're talking about where you bring the bird, you bring the pair of birds. So ketza molken chatas ha'of, how do you do malik on the chatas ha'of? Chotech shedra umefarekes, that you cut the spinal cord and the neck bone below Rov Basar, without Rov Basar, in other words, because with it, when you're cutting it without rove of the flesh, you avoid making it a nevela. Ad shemegia levashet o lekane, until you reach either the trachea or the esophagus. Higiu levashet o lekane, when you reach the esophagus or the trachea, chotech simen echad, you cut one simen, o rubo, or the majority of the simen, because by the chatas, the halacha is that you only have to cut one simen. And what we saw in the sugyas a couple of days ago is ruba kakulo. So you cut either one simen entirely or a rove of the simen. Virov basarimo. And when you get up to cutting the trachea or the esophagus at the point that you're up to cutting the simen, that's when you're going to cut rov basar. Because when you're cutting the simen, in other words, in the course of doing the shechita, obviously the animal is meant to die. But the point is, we do the procedure in a way so that we avoid killing the animal until we're actually severing the windpipe or the esophagus. So okay, good. So you're not killing the animal, you're not killing the bird until you're in the process of doing the malika. And then the Gemara continues, uva ola, and by the ola sa'of, which is the other pair that's brought along with the chata sa'of, shnayim or rov shnayim, then you have to cut through either two simanim or rov of two simanim. So says the Gemara as follows. So money. So whose shita is this? Irabanan. So if it's the Rabbanan, ha'amri shnayim dafka. The Rabbanan say that by the ola sa'of, you have to cut through the two simanim entirely. So why are we saying that you have to cut through either both simanim or rov of both simanim? Saying that you have to cut through both simanim, that's the shita of the Rabbanan. And ik Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon, and if we hold like Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon, Omar Rov Shnayim. Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon says that it's enough to cut through Rov Shnayim, and Rashi points out it's Dafka. Rov Shnayim is Dafka velo Yoser kediktani lekamon, like we're going to see in tomorrow's Daf. The beinan sheyei oches baroshu beguf kishu maze, that you have to, when you do the hazav of the dam of the bird on the Mizbeach, of the bird ola on the Mizbeach, you have to hold the bird in a way so that you're holding the head and the body in one hand. Now, how are you holding the head and the body in one hand if they're detached? You're not. So there is, so elamai, that you have to hold the head and the body in one hand and then apply the blood from the neck of the bird directly onto the Mizbeach. So, in other words, the kasha is, How are you framing the malika as if you're cutting either one simon or rove of one simon or two simanim or rove of two simanim? It's no either or. This is a machlokas. The chachamim say you have to dafka cut the entire simon or the entirety of the two simanim. And Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon says that dafka you have to cut only rove of one simon or rove of two simanim. So says the Gemara, you're right. Ema shnayim l'rabbanan, rove shnayim l'rabbelazab Reb Shimon. Yes, we're not saying that you could do either or, and that's all in satisfaction of a single shita. What we're doing is we're offsetting both shitas here. That what do you do by the chatas? You cut either one or rove, depending on whether you hold like the Rabbanan or Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. What do you do by the ola? You cut either two or rove of two, depending again on whether you hold like the Rabbanan or Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. Or it says the Gemara, Viba Seima Hava of Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, maybe they're both a sheet of Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, and my shnayim shadomin l'shnayim. And what does it mean when we say that you cut it, that you cut both simanim? It doesn't mean that you cut both simanim dafka entirely. It means that you're cutting rove shnayim, but in a way where it appears as if they're both fully cut. In other words, Rashi explains what this means is that Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, when he requires shchita of the rove simen, even though there were two types of rove, there's a rove and then there's a rove with a capital resh. So a rove alone is like you cut 51% of the simen, so that's technically a rove. But the point is, Reb Elazar Reb Shimon requires a ruba nikeras. He requires that when you cut the rove, it has to be nicker, that really rove of the simen is cut. And that's why the Gemara says, shnayim or rove shnayim. It doesn't mean you cut both pipes fully literally. It means you're cutting the rove of the pipes in a way so that it appears as if they're both cut entirely, meaning a very, very large rove, a rove that is nikar. Says the Gemara Viter, so Amar Rav Yudah Mer Shmuel. So says Rav Yudah Mer Shmuel, Nishpara Mefarekes, if the and now we're talking about a person. If a person's neck bone is broken, virov basarima, and most of the flesh around the neck bone is also severed, then metame ba'ol, then that person is metame tumas ol. Why? Because he's considered a dead person, and a dead body, a mace, is metame ba'ol. Says the Gemara, Vim Tomar Osa Maisa De'eli, Mefarekez Barov Basarave. And if you want to ask me Akasha, there was a Maisa of Elia Kohen, and Elia Kohen was the Kohen Gadol. When he heard that the Aron was captured, he fell off his chair in distress, and he broke his neck. And the Navi tells us that he broke his neck, and it was below Rov Basar. In other words, nobody decapitated him. He just fell and he broke his neck. So he broke his neck, and it was low Rov Basar, yet he died. So how could you tell me that the only way a person is going to die is when you break the neck and most of the flesh around the neck bone is taken away? Eliyahu Cohen died when he broke his neck, even though most of the flesh around his neck bone was still intact. Says the Gemara, Zakei Nashani. Well, Elia Cohen was a really old guy. And if you have a really old person is going to be much more frail. And therefore, yes, an old person is going to die if the neck bone is broken, even if low rov basar. A regular person, a young, healthier person, is going to die only if the neck bone is broken with rov basar imo, with rov of the basar taken away as well. Dichsev, as we see in the pasuk, vayi kaskiru as Aron Elokim, when they mentioned to Eli what had happened to the Aron Elokim, that it was captured, vayipol mi'alakisei acharanes, and he fell backwards off of his chair, biad yad hashar, vatishper mefarakto vayamas, and he broke his neck bone and he died. Says in the pasuk, ki zake na ish v'kaved, because he was an old man. So you can ask me akasha from Eli, not akasha, because an old person is much different. But for a young person, generally speaking, the person's only going to die if the neck bone is broken with rov basarimo, and associated with the breaking of the neck bone is that he is lacking most of the flesh around the neck bone. Says the Gemara again about interesting ways of cutting a person or an animal. So Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yochanan Karo Kedug. If you cut a person open like a fish, in other words, like the way you gut a fish, so you basically slice a person down lengthwise his body, you make an incision down the length of a person's body, Metame Ba'oel is going to be Metame Ba'oel again, because you killed him basically, and a dead person is Metame Ba'oel. And Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Umigah. That's only when you make the incision along the back. But if you make the incision along the front, then you didn't necessarily kill him. And again, the back is where the spinal cord is and the neck bone. So it makes sense. We're talking about breaking the neck bone and how that kills a person. So this halacha applies only when you're slicing a person from the back. So Amar Shmuel, and now another mimra. So also gistera, now if you split an animal in two, in other words, you cut it not lengthwise, but you cut it widthwise, so you cut the animal literally in half, nevela, so what you've done is you've made the animal a nevela. So Amar Rav Elazar, so says Rav Elazar, nitala yerech v'chalal shela nikar, if you take the thigh bone out of the animal and the cavity of the where the thigh used to be is nikar, then nevela, then it's going to be a nevela. So what exactly does this mean, that chalal shela nikar, that the cavity of where the thigh bone used to be is nikar? Hechadami chalal shela nikar, what does that mean? So amarava kol shiravetzes v'nires chasera, anytime the animal is crouching and it appears as if it's missing, and it appears as if it's missing a limb. And Rashi points out that derech habeima lirvot al yerecha, the derech of an animal is to crouch on its thigh, umiskeses yerecha beravitza, so vimniris chesrona kshiravutza, then it's going to be an avail. In other words, when the animal crouches, sometimes it's difficult to see what's going on by the legs of the animal because they're folded under the animal itself. But if the hole that you left the animal with is so profound that even when it's crouching, you can easily see that the animal is missing a leg, then at that point it's going to be considered a nevela. Says the Gemara Vayter. Now we're going to talk about Sherutzim. Tanan Hassam. Hutsu Rosheim. If you cut off the head of a Sheretz, And now Rashi points out that a sheretz is not as prone to dying as other animals. Other animals are people. When they're dead, they're dead. But sometimes, and we see this when we try to kill bugs, for example, sometimes you think you got it, but it's really still moving around a little bit. You're not really sure whether you killed it. But hutzu roshayim, if you cut off the head of a sheretz, afal pi shemefarkasin, even though it still might be moving around, Tameim, then it's going to be Tamei. Why? Because you've killed it. Kizanav halata, like the lizard's tail, Shemefareches, that it still is, that you could cut off the tail of a lizard, and the lizard's tail still might be moving around, but obviously the lizard's tail doesn't have any vitality, it doesn't have any independent life on its own, and therefore the fact that it's moving around isn't necessarily a sign of life. Therefore, if you chop off the head of a sheretz, you're not deemed to have killed it. So my hutsu, so what does it mean that you, what does it mean that you chopped it off? So Resh Lakish Amar hutsu mamish. Resh Lakish says it literally means that you chopped it off. Now, we should mention that even though Resh Lakish says hutsu mamish, it doesn't mean that you literally decapitate the animal, because obviously that is obvious that that's what it means, that you cut the head off. What it means is that you cut most of the head off and it still might be attached by a little thread of skin, as we'll see. And Ravasi Amar, Ravasi says, Ravasi Amar Rabbi Mani, Kavdalas Ola Sa'of. That no, it doesn't literally mean that you chop the head off. It means like you have to be Mavdil in Ola Sa'of. And Rashi points out, Debo Kol Simanim, that you require the cutting of both Simanim, as we've been saying. Unlike the Chata Sa'of, where you have to cut only one Simon, by the Ola Sa'of, you have to cut two Simanim. So if you have to cut two Simanim, so what does it mean that you cut that off? It means not literally that you decapitate it, but that you sever two Simanim. Now I explained that Reish Lakish, when he says that you cut off the head of the Sheretz, also doesn't mean that you really decapitate it. And why did I explore? Why did I say that way? The reason is because the Gemara now asks, So the Gemara now asks, Amar Rav Yirmiyah l'Rabasi, Kavdolas Olas Ha'of l'Rabbanan. Are we saying that Havdolas Olas Ha'of means, according to the Shita of the Rabbanan, who say that you cut off, that you have to cut two Simanim by the Olas Ha'of, that you have to cut both Simanim below Pligusu, and therefore. Ravasi, Amar Rav Mani, and Reish Lakish are not arguing, because cutting both simanim is the same thing as chopping off the head. So obviously, therefore, chopping off the head doesn't mean that you literally chopped off the head, because by an Ola Sa'of, as we'll see again on Amud Beis, when you cut both simanim, according to the Rabbanan, it also doesn't mean that you sever the head entirely. So what does it mean that you're cutting it, that you're cutting the simanim like the Ola Sa'of? Does it mean like the Rabbanan who require the cutting of both simanim, and therefore there's no machlokas between Rav Asi and Reish Lakish, because hutsu mamish, when Reish Lakish says hutsu mamish, that you've mamish decapitated the animal, it also means that you've cut both simanim. Odilma kavdalas olasof l'rabloza Rav Shimon uplagisu. Or maybe when we say that avdalas olasof, we mean according to the Shita of Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, who says that it's enough to cut rov simanim, and therefore maybe they are arguing, because according to Rav Asi, the animal transmits tuma as soon as you cut rov of both simanim. But according to Reish Lakish, the animal doesn't transmit tuma until you've done something called hutsu. And what's hutsu? Hutsu means that you're cutting both simanim. So whose shita are we going like here? So says the Gemara, Amar Leh, Kavdolas Olas Ofer, Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, Upal Glinan. We're talking about Havdalas Olas Ha'of, the separation of the Olas Ha'of's head, according to the Shita of Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, who says that you only need Rov Simanim, and therefore Taka Rav Asi, Amar Rav Mani, is arguing with Reish Lakish, because Rav Asi says the animal is killed, the sheretz is killed as soon as you cut rov of both simanim, whereas Reish Lakish says the sheretz is not considered dead until you cut both simanim entirely. Ikadamri, others have another lashon where this was not put as a question, but rather where they made the statement that they were holding like Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon. Ikadamri, Rebbe Shimon, lakesh amar hutzu mamish, that the sheretz becomes dead when it's literally decapitated, meaning that you've cut both simanim. Ravasi, amar of money, kavdalas olos ofla, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, berov shnayim, that the sheretz is considered to be dead and therefore transmits tumah once you sever rov of both simanim like Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon. So here we had it taught explicitly in the Brisa. So says the Gemara, you have been telling me a lot over the past Amud about the Machlokas, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, and the Rabbanan. We've not yet seen this Machlokas, though, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, Rabbanan. So now the Gemara asks, my Rabbanan, umay Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon. So what's the Shita of the Rabbanan that we keep mentioning? What's the Shita of Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon? Did Tanya, as we learn in a Brisa, Vesasheni Yase Ola Kemishpat. Now, again, we have the Chatas Of and we have the Olas Of because we're talking about a Karban Olah V'Yored. Importantly, this offering that you're bringing of the two birds is really a Chatas. And as we mentioned, you're bringing it as a substitute for a Chatas Behema because you're not wealthy enough to bring a Chatas Behema. Therefore, you're bringing the Chatas Of and the Olas Of. So the Pasuk tells us, Vesasheni and the second bird, Yase Olah, you have to make an Olah Kemishpat, like the laws of... The Torah doesn't tell us. Like the laws of what? Like the laws of a chatas oaf? Or like the laws of a chatas behema? So says the Gemara, kamishpat chatas behema atomer. So really, we should say that the mishpat that we're referring to here is like the laws of the chatas behema. And Rashi points out, kamishpat is mashma shekat, this is in the first wide line, kamishpat mashma shekotzava mishpat b'makam acher, that the rules, the particulars of how to bring this korban were referenced someplace else, va'ika va'hecha koi, and what is the other place that we're trying to draw a parallel to the rules here? Achatas behema del el, it's talking about chatas behema, Sharei olazu ba'chalifin la, because this ola is coming really as a replacement for the chatas behema, right? Because it's a korban ola v'yored. Hilkach lo ilo akshev yalef minei, k'demefaresh hilkach lo akshev yalef minei. Therefore, it's mukash to the chatas behema, k'demefaresh l'kamei de'ina ba'ela melachulen. There are a lot of halachas we're going to see as soon as we flip to Amud Beis, that the halacha of this bird ola is very similar to the halacha of an animal chatas. But the pasuk said, "Asasheni yase ola kemishpat," like the rules of what? Like the rules of the chatas behema. Kemishpat chatas behema. So it says in the Gemara, it's like the mishpat chatas behema, o'ena, ela kemishpat chatas ha'ov. Or maybe it's like the rules of the chatas ha'ov, that by the chatas ha'ov that we read about in the Torah right before the reference to olas ha'ov, there was an interesting rule. We know by chatas ha'ov you have to cut only one siman, because the Torah says velo yavdil, that you're dafka not supposed to separate the animal, the bird's head from the bird's body. And maybe when it says by the ola kemishpat, maybe the mishpat that we're referring to is like the laws of the chatas ha'of. Says the Gemara, kishu omer vikrivu, when it says in the pasuk vikrivu chilek hakasa ben chatas ha'of leola ha'of. The pasuk drew a distinction between the chatas ha'of and the ola ha'of. Mani mekayim kemishpat. Therefore, when it says kemishpat, that I have to bring the ola kemishpat, what is it referring to? It's kemishpat chatas behema. It's like the laws of the chatas behema. So again, why can't it be teaching me that it's like the mishpat of chatas ha'ov? Because we already have the lashon and the pasuk vikrivu to draw a distinction between chatas ha'ov and the olas ha'ov. Therefore, if I know that I'm not comparing it to the chatas ha'ov, what does it mean, kemishpat? Whose law is the bird ola like? It's like the laws of the animal chatas. So what, in what respect is the law of the bird ola like the law of the animal chatas? Says the Gemara, ma chatas behema eina ba, just like a chatas behema does not come ela min achulin, it comes only from chulin, ubiyom, and it's only brought during the day, uviyado ayamanis, and it's only brought with a Kohen's right hand, af olas of eina ba ela min achulin, ubiyom, uviyado ayamanis, it only comes from chulin. Rashi points out that this comes to exclude from Meiser Sheni, that you cannot use Meiser Sheni money to purchase the karbonos, and It's only brought during the day because it says, Ki bayom hazeh yechaper aleichem by the chatas. This is by the chatas Yom HaKippurim. And it's brought by the Yadu Ayamanis. That means that when the Kohen does the avoda of the chatas, both the animal chatas and the bird ola are kosher only if done with the Kohen's right hand. Why? And Rashi points out, because the Kohen takes from the dam of the chatas with his finger, and we saw in Menachas, we saw in Zvachim as well, that that any time it says etzba and kuhuna, it only means with the right hand. And that's how we know that when you do the avoda, you have to do it with the right hand. The Rashi now elaborates a little bit. So says Rashi, why do we have to learn these halachas from Chatas Behema? Why can't we learn these halachas from Chatas Oof? Because the sequencing in the Pasuk is the Pasuk tells me about Chatas Oof, then it tells me about Olas Oof. So why am I learning the halachas of Olas Oof from Chatas Behema, which is written way before in the Pesukim? Says the Gemara, says Rashi, Ma Chatas Oof Menachulin, says the Gemara, Da Kulunami Yisnuba Vichaluk Divikrivu Lemilseyasa, because again, there's this word Vikrivu, which comes to divide the Parshia, Kedamar Chaluka Olami Chatas Lenin Avdala, Laf Birchi, Da Chatas Oof Loksiva Bechulin Behedya. Because by Chatas Oof, we never have an express limud that it has to come from Chulin. But by Behema, it says that it has to come from Chulin. So what's the problem? The by Behema it says explicitly, by the Oof it doesn't say explicitly. So says Rashi, this is the rule by Kachem that we've been seeing, that Ein Dover Alame Behekish Chozer Malame Behekish, that if something is learned from a Hekish, it can't teach me another halacha from a Hekish. So the reason that I can't learn this halacha from the Ola, from the Chatas Oof, it's because the only way that I know that the Chatas Oof doesn't come in a Chulin is from a Hekish to the Chatas Behema. So if it's learned from a Hekish, it can't be Chozer Malame Behekish. So the only way that I would know that the Olas Oof isn't Ba Ela Menachulin is only from learning it directly from the Chatas Behema. So says the Gemara, okay, but Ima Lahalan Barov Shnayim, if you're going to tell me that I'm learning the halacha of Olas Oof from Chatas Behema, so just like by Chatas Behema, it's enough to Shecht Rov Shnayim, Afkan Barov Shnayim, also by the Olas Oof, it should be enough to Shecht Rov Shnayim, and I shouldn't require Kol Shnayim. And again, the only one who says that Rov is enough is Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, but the Rabbanan say, I have to Shecht Rov Shnayim by an Olas Behema. So says the Gemara, Tamalomar Umalak Vehiktir. It says Umalak Vehiktir. And that somehow teaches me that I don't have to cut that I have to cut everything, the entire simen. How does that teach me this? So says the Gemara as follows: the ma haktara harosh ba'atzmo v'aguf ba'atzmo. Just like when you're maktir the bird on the mizbeach, the rosh is separate and the guf is separate. Af malika rosh ba'atzmo v'aguf ba'atzmo. Also, when you do the malika, the rosh has to be separated and the guf has to be separated. And this is the shita of the Rabbanan, who hold that when you're doing the malika on the Olas Oof, you have to cut both simanim. You have to cut both simanim entirely. And Rashi points out over here, it's about 10 lines down in the wider lines, that af malikas Olas Oof rosh ba'atzma v'hainu shnayim. That means that you have to cut shnei simanim, that you have to cut both simanim. Even if they're still attached with skin, it's still considered to be an avdala. Kadamina lel, like we saw earlier, that the malika ksiv rakmana hachavdala malika keshchita. V'chol sheyeshna b'shchita yeshna b'avdala. V'or sheyna b'shchita neskeres bo b'avdala nami lo ma'akev. And this is what we opened up this year with, that since or is not ma'akev by shchita, the R is also not ma'akev by, or rather, I should say, since the R is not shayich by shchita, R is not included in the halach of shchita, the R is not ma'akev by malika, and therefore, so long as you cut both simanim, it's considered as if it's a total separation, even if the head of the bird is still connected to the body with skin. So this is the shita of the Rabbanan, who say that by melikas olas ha'of, you require chatichas shnei simanim, two simanim entirely. We learn the halakha of olas ha'of from chatas behema, I by chatas behema, it's only rov simanim, not kol simanim. We have a separate limud to teach me that the halacha by the olas ha'of is not exactly like by chatas behema. And now the Gemara says, Vaita Rabbi Shmuel, Omer Rabbi Shmuel says, Kamishpat. It says Kamishpat, and it means Kamishpat chatas ha'of. No, when it says by the ola Kamishpat, it doesn't mean Kamishpat chatas behema, it means Kamishpat chatas ha'of. Ma chatas ha'of mimol oref, af olas ha'of mimol oref. Just like the chatas ha'of, you do the malika from the back of the neck, so too by the olas ha'of, you're doing the malika from the back of the neck. Says the Gemara, Imal alan molek veinam avdil b'simen echad, afkan molek veinam avdil b'simen echad. If you're going to learn chatas, if you're going to learn olas from chatas ha'of, then just like by chatas ha'of, it's actually usur to be mavdil bei simanim. It's usur to be mavdil tu simanim. The halacha is that you could be mavdil only one simon, and so too by olas ha'of, we should also learn that I can only be mavdil one simon. Tamalomar vikrivo comes along the pasuk and it says vikrivo, which teaches me that the halacha by olas ha'of is not quite like the halacha by chatas ha'of. So we're going to draw the parallel to teach me that the malika is done in the same place. However, they're not exactly alike, because by chatas ha'of I sever only one simon, by the olas ha'of I have to sever two simonim, or rov of two simonim. Vik riva. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, Kemishpat, what does it mean? Kemishpat chatas ha'of, it's like the mishpat of the chatas ha'of. Mala halan, just like by chatas ha'of, oches barosh uveguf, you are holding the rosh and the guf, in other words, umaze, and you do the azah, in other words, you don't separate the head from the body entirely. Afkan, so too over here, by the olas ha'of, oches barosh uveguf umaze. You hold the head and the guf, and you do the sprinkling. So my kamar. So what exactly is he telling me? Says the Gemara, hachi kamar. So this is what he's saying. Mala lan kishoches harosh beguf maze. Just like over there by the chatas, when you are being oches the rosh and the body together, and Rashi points out shemakubra rosh beguf b'shas hazah dachsiv v'lo yavdil. Because by the chatas of, it says explicitly in pasuk v'lo yavdil. Therefore, you're holding it as a unit that the head is together with the body. Afkan kishoch is a rosh beguf maze. So too, when you're doing the azah, you're holding the head of the bird together with the body of the bird. Says the Gemara, imal alam b'simen echad afkan b'simen echad. Oh, really? If you're going to compare the olas ha'of to the chatas ha'of, and to teach me that I'm never cutting the skin because the head of the bird's got to be together with the body of the bird, then just like by the chatas ha'of, I'm only cutting one simen, by the olas ha'of, I should also be cutting one simen. Tamalomar v'ikrivu. Tamalomar says in Pasuk v'ikrivu, that draws a distinction between the chatas ha'of and the olas ha'of. In other words, deboi avdolah b'miksas. That by olas ha'of, I need a little bit of avdolah. What does it mean, a little bit of avdolah? It means that you have to cut both simanim, even though you're not cutting the entire skin. By chatas ha'of, you need less of an avdolah dafka, that you're only allowed to cut one of the simanim. All right, so let's leave off over here. We'll pick up tomorrow with more about Malika, and then we're going to see a whole series of Mishnayos that deal with different topics as well, thankfully.